Overkill, profusion, excess, surplus, too much, abundance. When it comes to the body of Christ, God is just a big show-off, heaping spiritual gifts on his people in an embarrassment of riches.
I'm Laura Pace.
And I'm Jessica Denny.
You're listening to Embarrassment of Riches, where we explore the wisdom, passion, power, and grace that God has showered on the women of Dallas Bible.
Hey, everybody. Thank you for joining us tonight on Embarrassment of Riches. We have Katie Boyd, which you will have the pleasure of meeting with us because we have literally just met her. Neither Laura and I have ever met Katie before. Hey, Katie, welcome.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Yeah, we are, I think this is our first time to have somebody on that we neither one of us really have any kind of history with.
Right, so I could say anything.
That's right. You could totally project a different personality and a different
no
story.
No one would ever know.
And we would just eat it up.
That's right. Yeah, so we're going blind.
Yeah.
We're like,
that's right. You know, you weren't in the room, but we were talking beforehand that we've not even, from our Facebook stalking or my Facebook stalking, I didn't recognize you, and I know that church can feel very different from being there at the 9 o'clock service and being there at the 10:45 service, and so I was really surprised when you said that you've been at DBC for 9 years, which, one, you look too young to have been at a church for 9 years. And two, that's given the people that I know, the circles that I'm in at church, that's a really long time to have been there.
Yeah, we're kind of OG.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's right. You sure are. That's a good
way
to
put it. Wait, what's OG?
Original gangster.
Oh, okay.
Actually, if you're sticking with the theme
sure
of like gangsta.
Are you sure you haven't listened to this?
That's right. She's throwing out gangster references.
We got original gangster with our Born Playa.
Oh. Yeah, that's right.
I had no idea.
That's my claim.
I'm learning so much already.
Right. Well, let us learn a little bit. And just tell us your basic bio, just kind of about your, where you've been, where you come from.
Yeah, well, stuff. I'm from Texas originally. I grew up just east of Dallas in a town called Terrell.
Do you think people have not heard of Terrell?
I don't know. It's kind of hit or miss.
If you're really? From here.
Well, I guess if you're from here, maybe you do. And we just got a Buc-ee's there, so now it's like a really big deal.
My dad, no, maybe it's because Shreveport, I grew up in Shreveport,
oh, yeah,
so like
you
drive through, always drive through it.
Sure.
So it's hard for me to imagine anyone hasn't heard of Terrell.
And lots of
that being well, said, my dad, to this day, calls it Terrell.
Yeah, we get that a lot. I think at DBC, we have a lot of transplants, right,
uh-huh.
from other states and things, so mm-hmm. not everyone knows where Terrell is, but I
or
feel
Or they
like
might be thinking it's Terrell.
Terrell, and so they have no idea what I'm saying, but it's actually Terrell. Good old Terrell, Texas.
And there is a gigantic Buc-ee's there now.
There
we
is.
We have East Texas roots, so we go past there a lot.
Yep. Which is very exciting. So, grew up in Terrell, went to college at A&M Commerce, and then moved up to Dallas for grad school. Actually met my husband at A&M Commerce, and then we moved up this way. He went to a different grad school, but we both moved up here. We got engaged, we got married, and now we live here.
How long have you been married?
Almost 9 years tomorrow, actually.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Congratulations.
I know.
Happy anniversary.
Kind of sneaked up on us.
It happens fast, and it doesn't seem like it's been that long.
Yeah, it doesn't.
And what do you, what'd you go to grad school for, / what do you do?
So, I went to undergrad for journalism, and I thought I would come out and work at newspapers or magazines, but I graduated in 2008, where nobody was hiring anybody for anything.
Mm-hmm.
But I really felt like the Lord was calling me to DTS for a spell, so mm-hmm. I went there for about a year and a half, but ended up not finishing, and that's like a total side story, but now I actually do... I own my own business doing marketing for other small businesses.
Oh, okay, cool. And how'd you end up at DBC?
Well, when Daniel and I, that's my husband, moved to Dallas, I lived, I don't know, more like Garland, but when we got married, he lived up in Richardson because he was going to UTD.
Mm.
And so we moved into an apartment there, and so we were looking for a church that was local, and we tried out a few places. But nothing quite stuck. And then one day he drove past DVC and we went there and then we just never stopped going.
Mm-hmm. Just felt like a fit.
Yeah, it just felt like all the things we were looking for. We tried big churches and small ones and old ones and new ones and all the things in between.
Just
so we were like, this one feels like a good mix of like size and hospitality and vision. And so we were just sort of, you know, never stopped going and then joined officially like 2 years later.
And y'all have been married for 9 years and at DBC for 9 years. Mm-hmm. So it's been the church of your marriage.
Yeah. Yeah. We got engaged in October and we started going right around Easter. So like March or April. And then we got married in August. Oh. So in that time period.
Well, how did you grow up in the church? How did you come to faith?
Yeah, I grew up in the church. My family is all believers. And so I came to faith really early. I don't even know exactly when that was. It was just sort of always a part of my life. Not, obviously, theologically, I didn't always believe, but it sort of like felt like that for a long time. I was even raised in like a conservative Christian school, and we were in and out of church, so we weren't necessarily like super committed to one church or another for most of my young life. But I mean, I had school and felt like pretty fed. In fact, when I would, as a teenager, when I would go to Sunday school for youth and everything, it felt like really, basic compared to what I was getting. And so it was actually really hard for me to fit in some of those categories because it just felt like, oh, well, I learned this yesterday, so why am I coming here for this? And my school was super tiny. And so, because in Terrell, there was like one really small Christian school. Like, I graduated with seven other people in my class.
Oh, wow.
And so everyone else went to the high school in town, and so I didn't know anybody, and so most of the time I actually just went to, like, big church, and then skipped over youth group for a lot of my teenage years. But yeah, so faith and the Bible and Jesus have all been a part of my life and vocabulary for a really long time.
Just feels like it's always been there. And do you remember a specific time in your life where you really started taking ownership over your own faith, where it became a little bit more real to you?
Yeah, I would say probably halfway through college was really like that turning point for me. I think first getting to college was like culture shock for small town Christian kid. And even though I went to like a small college, it was just culturally very different.
Now, I'm a non-Texas girl.
Okay.
Where is A&M Commerce? I've heard
it's
that.
It's really hard.
Do you know... I was like, I'm not going to say, do you know where Commerce is? So, okay, do you know where Terrell is?
Terrell,
yes.
Yes, I do.
Okay, do you know where Greenville is?
Yes.
Okay, so it's just like northeast of Greenville, like 15 minutes or so.
Okay.
So if you go
on the
30,
way to Texarkana.
Uh-huh, if you go 30 on the way to Texarkana, you'll pass the little... Highway 50?
How did you pick that as your... I know I'm totally interrupting the main
okay.
point of your story, but how did you pick A&M Commerce?
That's what we do also on this podcast.
Yes.
Hey, rabbit
trails.
We like
to derail the conversation as much as possible.
Okay. Katie told us right before that you also have a podcast, and I'm guessing it's probably more sleek because you said something about post-production, which is really not in our podcast vocabulary. We're like, this is what you get, and we're going to put it out
there.
Yeah,
I mean, I try to edit as little as possible.
Did you notice I was trying to edit my laugh now? Laura doesn't listen to our podcast, so she doesn't know what happens. I have listened to my podcast and discovered my laugh is... obnoxious, and you haven't listened to it, let's ask our faithful
let's ask
people.
The people.
Let the people vote. But
so in this podcast posts, we can put a poll out there.
Yes.
About your laugh.
And how obnoxious from
but,
1
but,
to 10
know, this
is.
This is the thing I love about my husband. We're really going to derail this. So, you know how I told you he didn't necessarily make me feel better like you did when I showed you that picture of me at Six Flags? And she was like, it looks just like you.
I did not say those words.
I was like, this is a horrible picture, and I was sinking into a deep depression, and she's like, yes, this is like your clone right this second.
Let it be known that Jess Denny is lying right now.
All she said was, it doesn't look that bad, which I read as, you look like this all the time. In fact, right now, you look like this. So, anyway, Kyle says something about... like, I'm like, is that what my laugh sounds like in real life? And he's like, well, it's your laugh. But he was so yes. Uh-huh. But he was like, but you get to be boisterous. You're a boisterous person.
Aww, that's sweet.
It's true.
That's
so sorry sweet. About my boisterous laugh. It is who I am.
And we're not going to take it out in post-production.
No. Because Kyle's going to do very little editing.
Yeah, that's right. He's an unpaid intern. So,
he's an unpaid intern who gets a lot of complaints.
Yeah, that's right. He didn't really sign up for this.
A&M Commerce.
Yes. Yep.
Is on the way to Texarkana.
Put it at, what, an hour away from here?
Yeah, that's about right.
And Laura was asking you why you chose A&M,
yes.
A&M Commerce, and then we went on our bunny trip.
Sure. So, let's see. I'd actually planned to go somewhere else. And then a lot of stuff happened in my family. Like, my mom went through a divorce, and my grandpa had a stroke or a heart attack, and so it just didn't seem like the right time to go away somewhere. Mm. So I actually stayed home and went to the community college in Terrell for a semester, and then went away to A&M Commerce because it was 45 minutes from home.
Mm-hmm. She could get back.
So it was still close, but, you know, I could come home weekends if I wanted to, but also I wasn't at home. So mm-hmm. It felt like a nice compromise for me in the middle of all the things.
Mm-hmm. So, you mentioned that your parents are divorced.
Yes.
So, how old were you when your parents got divorced?
This is also complicated. So, my mom and dad actually divorced when I was 5. So this was one of my mom's subsequent marriages.
Mm-hmm. Oh, got you.
Yeah.
Now, and are both of your parents in Terrell now?
No, my mom is. Actually, she lives even further east. And my dad actually lives more north up in Fannin County.
Okay. Where's your mom live further east?
Edgewood.
Edgewood. Seen the signs.
It's on the way to Canton. Mm-hmm. So yes. You probably pass through there, too. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that was our derailed conversation.
Sure.
And, like, just when you made your faith more personal, when it became more yours.
Yes. So midway through college.
I didn't even realize we had gone off of that.
That's how far away we are.
Yes.
So midway through college, I mean, I was very legalistic when I first got to college. And I mean, and that's partly personality. I really like rules and boxes and structure. And so it fit me for a long time, but there were just I was just recognizing that it wasn't the best way to go about having relationships with actual human beings, mm-hmm. to live that way completely.
Sure. People didn't love that.
Yeah, people didn't enjoy that so much. But I also, felt very dry inside. Like, it mm-hmm. wasn't, it was real, and I knew God was real, and I, you know, lived with all of that. But at the same time, hadn't really, felt that for myself, and so I don't know what exactly flipped the switch, but at some point I really just started digging more into scripture and getting into that. And through that, the Spirit just really moved, and he sort of then took me on another journey where I transferred schools and I ended up coming back, and mm-hmm. it was just the whole thing. But through all of that, really deepened my faith and my understanding of grace, and helped me slow down and be a little less rigid mm-hmm. in everything.
So the relationship with God became more appealing than just following the rules that he outlined for you, or became more real to you?
Yeah, I mean, rules are really appealing to me.
Still now.
You like the black
now,
and white.
I like to know the box, right? But
I can see Jess's wheels turning, because I feel like she always sees things. Have you heard of the Enneagram?
Oh, yes.
I feel like she always sees things through the lens of the Enneagram.
I'm not actually.
No, what are you?
I'm a 5.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. That also works.
Yes, I was seeing one, but yeah, okay, I can see.
I mean,
see
I have some one tendencies, but the actual way that I process and live life is certainly 5. As a 5. Yeah.
Okay.
Totally so yeah, I don't it was I think it just became more real, maybe it was just that I felt and understood more than the rules at that mm-hmm. point. Like, really, growing up in Christian school, I had a lot of knowledge, which, as a 5, I love. So mm-hmm. that was, a big way that I sort of felt connected to things. But at the same time, I didn't, it was all about the rules, right? And that was basically all we ever got taught. And so mm-hmm. it was, do the things, don't do these things, mm-hmm. and that's what it, you know, and that's how you know that you're a good Christian. And so at some point that just like wasn't as satisfactory, or I think also as I had deepened friendships and relationships with other people in my life, I realized how that didn't really work. And so figuring out how that translated into a relationship with God was part of that too. Mm-hmm.
So one of the main things that we are trying to accomplish with this podcast is just to look at how differently God has made different people, mm-hmm. and the way that He shows up in people's lives, and kind of demonstrates His power, demonstrates His glory through the work of the people in the church. And so Laura and I don't know you at all. Tell us a little bit about yourself. Tell us about how you feel like God has uniquely gifted you. I wonder if that's going to be interesting from a five perspective, like, because it's not going to, it might not be in a flashy out there, you know.
Well, I think there's two real things that come to mind. One is, I think I have an ability to connect dots that other people don't connect. Part of that is just, as a five, I'm an observer. I see a lot of things, and I process a lot of things, and I really love to learn, so it's by taking in information that I get ideas for different things, or that I start, you know, making connections from this thing to this thing. And then I think the second half of that is that I'm a communicator, and so being able to take what I see or connect dots and then being able to translate that to other people, mm-hmm. Has been what I sort of feel like are unique gifts to how I approach a lot of things in my life. Mm.
How do you use that in church or in Christian service of any kind? Mm.
Yeah, so I actually teach a little bit in the women's ministry on Tuesday mornings.
Oh, awesome.
So that's been really helpful. And then I also do, I lead a small group there as well. And then my husband and I are actually working on a new potential discipleship initiative that we may be running with the church in the fall, so stay tuned about that. But it's mm-hmm. it's along some of those lines and uses some of those same gifts too.
And how do you use it? Tell us a little bit more about your career, because you just kind of touched on that you have your own business.
Yeah, so I do marketing strategy and content, specifically online marketing strategy and content for small businesses. Most of them are like, they would be considered micro businesses. They're like mm-hmm. single entrepreneurs. Most of them are building online businesses, or there's some kind of coach or consultant that have maybe a presence offline but want to sort of scale their business so that they're not having to like always trade time for money. Mm-hmm. So they're trying to get more remote clients or mm-hmm. work online. So they want to employ digital marketing to do that. So what I actually do is help them reverse engineer the way that they build relationships and translate that. It's kind of complicated.
Yeah. I totally understand everything
and
you're saying
what
right
I'm
now.
Understanding
and I'm completely
her to say is her job is computers.
Yes.
What I'm understanding
but then
her
I
to
translate
say is she's
that.
Smarter than me.
Yeah, I translate that into like content and strategy and systems that help them to build those, what I say is like replicate, automate, and accelerate those relationships through online marketing instead of just in person.
Like Cupshe.
Yeah.
I just got a Cupshe bathing suit
from
Facebook.
A random ad on Facebook.
See,
I feel like that's, like you're pretty passionate about it because you kind of come alive when you're talking about it. That kind of excites you.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like in my industry, there's a lot of, like, just do this thing, or there's, like, I made, you know, $7 million with this one Facebook post, and you can do it, too. Like, there's a lot of that mm-hmm. out there, but that actually doesn't work for very many people, and even if you were to dig into that person's business, you would see that they probably spent $6.9 million for that to work.
To make seven.
Yeah, and so I actually just, like, I was like, what if we actually treated online marketing like we were building relationships with people? Because that's what it is, right? Everything mm-hmm. it's human interaction. And if you want them, you know, to know, like, and trust you, then you have to behave like a human. And what better way to do that than the way that you do that in real life all the time anyway? Mm-hmm. So why don't we set it up to the way that you've gotten clients before those are the systems we employ. We don't take somebody else's system and try to, like, shove it into your business. Mm-hmm. Instead, we take how you work and we make the system and the content around it so that those relationships build more naturally so you feel better about it, because a lot of people get kind of, like, queasy about automating anything if they're really, like, connected and care for their people. Sometimes, like, automating stuff makes them feel weird. And it also, you know, it mirrors how they do things in real life. So it helps other people to connect, or it feels more natural to the people that are interacting with it too.
And how would you say, like, you use that career, you use your business as ministry? I mean,
maybe she doesn't.
Or maybe she doesn't. Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't always come up. I certainly tried to do it in the way that I interact with people. And I'm certainly open about my faith, and even, like, this discipleship initiative that I'm working on with my husband is almost, it's kind of going to develop into its own side business. Mm. So when I talk about other projects, I certainly talk about that too. And so it kind of becomes a part of, because it's a part of who I am, like, it's me also doing what I do for other people. So it just sort of becomes part of the narrative of my business too.
Just woven throughout.
Yeah. But I don't necessarily, like, only work with Christians or something like that. Yeah.
So I've never been a part of the Tuesday morning Bible study because I work on Tuesdays. And tell me more what you do with that.
Sure. So I lead a small group. You know, it's just like Wednesday night, small group. And then I'm part of the teaching team. So a couple of times a semester, I get to share insights with people.
So do you know the structure of the Bible studies?
No, I've never.
So what they do is they start
I've only ever done the summer ones. So
yeah, that's right. So you start in a small group and you discuss that week's Bible study lesson or whatever you did on your own time. And then there's everybody comes back into the big room and somebody
someone will teach on the lesson.
The next week's lesson?
That week's lesson. They start with the small group and then they just kind of expand it and make some specific points. So you're saying you've done the large group teaching.
Yes.
And how did you get into doing that?
Someone asked me. I mean, I think it was kind of like that. I taught kind of like a one-off elective class once upon a time, that was just like some short-term discipleship principles at DBC probably 2-3 years ago. And then, I hadn't really done anything since then, but a couple of years ago, Kristen sent an email and said, you know, would you like to teach? And I was like, yes, that would be lovely. Here we are.
And do you like it? Do you enjoy it?
I do. I mean, I think it puts a lot of those things that I'm good at and that I really enjoy doing together. I really like, I think the result of, like, the connecting dots and the communication thing is that I like to facilitate light bulb moments for people. And so getting to do that and help people actually take practical applications from the things that they've interacted with and discuss deeply with their friends in their group is really fun for me.
You like seeing people reach their full potential, like, to be able to, like you said, light bulb moments, discover things about themselves and act on that.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, so what would be for you a big ask prayer? We have to emphasize the K. A big ask prayer for just like what you envision your future. What would be a big ask prayer to God or from God?
Yeah, I mean, I think for me, it's just that I always sort of need to like be, and I hate this as much as I love it, that I need Him in order to do the things. And so I think just that I don't get ahead of what God is doing and that, you know, He makes clear that He's with me and the next step for whatever that is.
Because you said you like the rules, you like kind of the black and white, and you can
see a
trajectory
and I'm like
of where
planner,
you'd like things to go.
You know, like I'm a detail person, so you show me an idea and I automatically have like the whole plan lined out and I can certainly do a lot of things on my own. I'm a very competent person, which is good and bad. So
become a little too self-reliant.
Yeah. And so that's always my tendency, is just kind of like retreat into the work and doing it myself instead of like sort of being in this more flexible, open, trusting space where I have to like surrender parts of it or know that things might change, that's really hard for me.
Mm-hmm. Well, tell us about a time where you had to depend on God, where that wasn't an option.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. There were several. I think the biggest one in our lives was it's more than a few years ago. It's probably like 7 or 8 years ago now, but Daniel and I were married, and I wasn't working. I was like working part-time as a cheerleading coach, because that's a whole other life that I used to have.
You are a strange.
Yeah, just you can't just throw out cheerleader.
Just cheerleader all over the place.
I'm spinning now.
And so I coached cheerleading on the side, that was all I did. Daniel had just gotten this great job that he loved, and after a couple of months, he actually lost the job. And so I was making $400 a month, so that wasn't enough to support us. And so we really just kind of had to be one of those moments where you had to take action, but you also really just had to trust that the right thing would come along. So I set out to apply for all the jobs that I thought I could possibly do, and I ended up getting one, like, right in time. Got our first paycheck right before everything would run out, and it covered all of our grocery bills and everything. But it also was the job that I then had for 5 years and moved up through that company and really, really loved, and really became, like, the platform that I was able to then have the confidence and faith to leave and do my own thing from. So it was kind of like a big bookend, like the start of even what I do now.
What do you think you learned about God through that experience, or how did he shape you?
Yeah. I feel like over and over in my life, I'm like always having to make the same decision to trust, like every big, scary thing that sort of comes my way. That's like the one common thread, is that, you know, no matter what happens, I can trust that God will provide. It's going to look a lot of different ways. Like when I left my job, I thought my business would be the thing, because God asked me to leave my job. So I left my job. So I really thought he was getting ready to like blow up my business so that we could be provided for. But actually, he provided through Daniel getting a raise and a promotion. You know what I mean? And so it's always just been like, I think I've had to learn to just be expectant and open at every corner of something that seems kind of scary or beyond me, because, I mean, and that's the decision that I feel like I have to keep making over and over, whether it was leaving school or him losing a job or, you know, going out on my own and some other thing and many other things in my life. That's sort of like the one thing I'm always having to like do over and over and over again.
Which is stretching for someone who likes to plan.
Exactly.
And it's so interesting that you like to plan, but it seems like God's put you in a bunch of situations and experiences where he's like, you may think this is your plan, but
it does cramp my
You're
style
staying in Terrell for a little longer.
Exactly. Terrell. Good old Terrell.
So he's constantly going, I see you, and you're not getting away with this.
I know, and so now I try not to plan too far ahead. Like, people will be like, what's your 5-year vision for your business? I was like, I don't even know what next 6 months is going to look like. Like,
next week, ago, I'm really hoping to do this.
Yeah, I mean, a year ago, it looked totally different. The year before, I had a totally different business. So it was just like, you just never know what's going to happen. So I try to plan enough to, like, be able to move forward, but also flexible enough to do what is asked of me. But that's hard sometimes.
Flexibility can be difficult when you like to know where you're headed and what exactly is going to happen.
Yeah.
Which I think even people who like spontaneity, still it can be unsettling when surprises happen, when plans change. Because, I mean, I know I'm not a huge planner. I can go on vacation and not know what we're going to do each week. But I would be really disappointed if all of a sudden... or each day, but I'd be really disappointed if all of a sudden vacation wasn't going to happen. You know, even if you're not a planner, we all still have plans. And when God
disrupts those. Yeah, because we all have expectations around things, right? And so it's sort of like holding the expectations loosely. But I think more than that, I think it's been realizing that, like, if he doesn't give me this, he gives me something better. So always saying, like, this or something better, right, at different intervals, and just being like saying, expecting, you know, this is sort of what I expect, but I'm leaving open space for whatever way you decide to show up, because I know that that's going to be better for all of us.
Why don't you just go ahead and wow me, God?
Please show off right now.
Yeah, I would love for you to show off. Yeah, that's. I think that would be what we all want. We all want to know what he's thinking, and if it's better than what we think we want, then great, we'll go right along with it. But sometimes, you know,
yeah.
You never know. That's what a few years ago at DBC, no, maybe just a year ago, I don't even know. It's all a blur. I have too many kids. But there was a Bible study on Tuesdays and Wednesday nights about God's interruptions and just different stories throughout the Bible where God totally interrupted what someone thought was going on, what they thought they were doing, and had something bigger and better. And maybe not by the world's standards, but as far as growing you and molding you and shaping you into what he wants you to be.
Yeah, totally.
So when you do teach, what are your favorite things to teach on? Like, how do you specifically say, yeah, I'll do that?
Well, you just get assigned. So.
Okay, so they're like, yeah, you'll do this.
They're like, what days are you open? What days can you not teach? And then they just, like, plot you through. So I don't really get a chance to, like, choose, but I'm always surprised that something that I get, you know, relates to something that I'm going through often. Mm. So I think even in that way, God uses that to minister to
almost
me.
Almost like the word is living and breathing.
I know, it's crazy. Really crazy.
And like God is speaking to us through it.
Yeah.
Almost like
that. Almost like that.
I mean, I wouldn't go that far, but.
That's a little much. So it just always fits. It seems to fit.
Yeah. I mean, or I think that also is just, it's also just kind of a fun exercise to go through and say like, okay, what in my life can I relate this to? Mm-hmm. And I think we can, I mean, doing that in general, right, with scripture is really good, but even being able to find like I get really excited when you find like the right story, right, mm-hmm. to like kick something off, mm-hmm. Because it fits so well and things like that. And then just really helping people apply it is really fun too. So, I think that's just, so even though I don't get to choose, I feel like it chooses me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of like, you know, with the pet adoption people, who saved who?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, exactly.
They chose me.
That's exactly what it feels like.
Tell us about a way that you'd like to grow, that you'd like to see God grow you.
In all the ways? That's what I always say. In all the ways? Can you just grow me in all the ways?
I think that's hard because sometimes I don't even know how I need to grow. I mean, I think the faith thing is always going to be present. And even just, maybe even, I don't want to say tempering some of my ambition, but cause I think I do that too. Or also like opening my mind to the different ways that even, the right ambition can be a good thing, if that makes sense. So not to say that I just want him to be really successful. That's what I want to be. But I think I think there's just as much opportunity in success as in failure to minister to others or yourself or in all those things. And so I think, A, to be able to still hold on to God in those moments, but also like not being afraid of going where he wants me to go just because it maybe feels scary or weird or
can be a different idea of success
than
what
you have. It's a different idea of success, or even if it's like the normal idea of success, that's not bad either. Mm. It's all a matter of like how I, you know, approach that right through the right lens. And so, you know, for the strength to do that well, if that's what he has for me, but if it's not what he has for me, to be okay with that too. Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure if that made sense, but
yeah.
That whole dang submission to what God wants us to do and be, right?
It's
that's hard for me, I know. So I think that is a great way for God to work and grow in all of us.
Yeah.
Well, it's been, I mean, that felt fast.
I know.
But I think it's because you have such a clarity in your speech and what you want to say. And it's like you have this very easy cycle from brain to mouth that
similar to yours.
I was like, that's a compliment.
Yeah, just exactly like mine, as evidenced by what I just said. Brain to mouth ratio is good. No, but I just think it's obvious. I'm surprised that it was... I could see you in journalism, but it also seems like you could have gotten an MBA or something. Like, you just seem business-minded, and I love that you're channeling that for Jesus, and that you've and, you know, we say that our business isn't directly in ministry, but I think that God's using your business mind, your ambitions, for His glory.
Totally. I mean, life is ministry, right? And so it doesn't matter where we are, what we're doing. It's all part of it.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for coming on and to coming and talking to two strangers.
I know. It was really a pleasure to meet you, Katie.
Yes.
We just so appreciate it. And how brave to come on.
Yeah. When I asked you before, I'm like, how are you doing? You're like, I'm good. Because it seemed seamless. I was more nervous to come on and be the interviewee than I think a lot of our guests have been. So yes, we really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Well, thanks for joining us on Embarrassment of Riches. We'll talk to you next time.